Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and a fallout between President Trump and Elon Musk over the budget bill.
It was really striking to hear President Trump seem to turn on Elon Musk there. He has been quiet for the last couple of days as Elon Musk has been criticizing the signature piece of legislation for the president's whole term right now. This is the big domestic agenda bill, the big tax policy bill. Elon Musk has called it an abomination, has been encouraging people to reach out to lawmakers to kill the bill. The president there said multiple times he is very disappointed in Elon Musk.
ABC's Karen Travers. A judge in Massachusetts granting bond for Milford High School student Marcela Gomez da Silva. The 18-year-old was detained by immigration officials driving to volleyball practice last weekend. ICE says they initially were looking for the teen's father. An IDF spokesperson says Israeli Defense Forces are currently attacking what it calls Hezbollah targets in Beirut and buildings that make drones. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Negotiations between Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers and state Republicans over the next biennial budget appear to have broken down. In a statement, Governor Evers said he had agreed to compromise on some tax proposals in the hopes that Republicans would compromise on issues like childcare and school funding. In his own statement, Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu claimed the governor's spending priorities were unaffordable for taxpayers. If no new budget is passed by June 30th, the current budget will stand until a new one is signed. Republican state lawmakers are proposing legislation that would allow language interpreters in state courts to appear for hearings and trials virtually. Proponents of the legislation say the state has a shortage of qualified interpreters, and allowing virtual appearances could make the justice system more efficient. Under current state law, interpreters must appear in person during trials, but can appear virtually for some hearings. Critics say virtual interpreter appearances could lead to miscommunications, eroding the rights of victims and defendants. A Rice Lake man accused of operating while intoxicated with his 4-year-old children in the vehicle has been sentenced to jail time. 25-year-old Austin Eggert entered guilty pleas to charges of possession of THC, criminal damage to property, and operating while intoxicated with a passenger younger than 16 in Barron County Circuit Court on Friday. He was sentenced to 35 days in jail and was fined over $1,500 on the OWI charge. His license was also revoked for 15 months, and he will serve 2 years of probation on the other charges. A Shell Lake woman was arrested on Tuesday following a high-speed chase that began in Barron County and ended in Rusk County. Barron County Sheriff's Department officials say they attempted to stop a vehicle being driven by Jess Blake on County Road M near U.S. Highway 8 for traffic and registration infractions. Blake is accused of fleeing the traffic stop, reaching speeds of 70 miles per hour as she continued on County Road M. She was taken into custody after driving into a property in Rusk County where her vehicle became stuck in a patch of mud. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
A Brewers win in Cincinnati. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers with a 9-1 victory over the Reds yesterday. They won the series 2-1. Manager Pat Murphy pleased with lefty D.L. Hall and his 3-inning performance, allowing just one hit to get things started.
Yeah, I think he's since he's been a starting pitcher, I think he's become more of a complete pitcher, and that's kind of cool. He's really become a pitcher. At least he showed today. That's some very capable hitters over there.
The Brewers open a weekend series tomorrow night in Milwaukee against the Padres. In men's college baseball, UW Whitewater beat the Messiah Falcons from Pennsylvania 21-5 to clinch the Division III College World Series. It's the third time Whitewater has won the national title. Basketball, game one of the NBA Finals tonight. The Oklahoma City Thunder host the Indiana Pacers, led by Tyrese Haliburton, a graduate of North High School in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy today with a high in the upper 70s this afternoon. The wind will be out of the west at 5 to 15. Tonight, cloudy with showers after midnight, our low 51. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms at a high right around 70. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 76.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Matt Miller, Milwaukee-based film critic. The film Sinners, the more distance I have from it, the more I liked it. Is that an Oscar film?
I think there is a love for what Sinners is doing, that a studio movie was this interesting and creative and thoughtful, but also entertaining. This is not the last you will hear about Sinners this year. I'd be shocked if it doesn't get a Best Picture nomination.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we'll be joined by Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin. Also, Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor, will be here to break down all the news. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Alba, along with our producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Rodgers, on the board. You like that?
Not particularly.
I'm sorry. We had big breaking Aaron Rodgers news, hour number one. He's going to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I do share a birthday with him, though, unfortunately.
I forgot that you do. Yeah. No, it's Aaron Zalbers on the board on this Thursday, June 5th, 2025. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Welcome to hour number two. It is a great day to be Wisconsinite here at the world headquarters of Civic Media in downtown Madison on State Street. A little cloudy. Still that advisory for breathing, I guess, air quality advisory, they call it, in effect for parts of Wisconsin today due to those wildfires up in Canada. Hopefully the wind, the rain will kind of push that out of most of the state by tomorrow, looking like a pretty nice weekend all across the state as far as weather-wise across the state of Wisconsin. Coming up a little bit later this hour, our daily What's Worse category, today's category, fads or dumb traditions. Fads or dumb traditions. We'll invite you to call in during this hour on that. Also, take a look at some more Wisconsin news headlines and take your phone calls as well. I was reminded, Zalbers, by a loyal listener, Mr. Wheat. I did not give the text to win word in the last half hour because we had all this breaking news. So my apology. We'll do better tomorrow.
Yes, we will.
The show is going to get absolutely much better right now because, speaking of wildfires and the environment, is there a connection between that and artificial intelligence, i.e. AI, here to in studio? And we are very pleased to have them here with us today. Emily Mills of the fantastic Recombobulation Area, Civic Media's political editor and founder of the Recombobulation Area. Dan Schaefer, of course, is responsible for putting all that together. You can find Emily's work and others at www.therecombobulationarea.news. You have to use the www, so that's very, very important. Emily, thank you very much for being here. We appreciate you.
Thanks so much for having me on. It's good to be here.
It is an absolute pleasure. We always love it when people take the time to stop by here. Tell folks a little bit about yourself. You're an independent writer and journalist right now.
That is correct, and I have been for, oh gosh, many, many years. But I have a newsletter called Grist from the Mills, which is on the Ghost platform, a little different than Substack. Mm-hmm. That I've been writing for some time, and Dan was kind enough to give me a spot as a regular columnist on the Recombobulation Area. We've known each other professionally for quite some years, but I used to have an opinion column in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and I was their token leftist, among other things. I got some pretty fabulous feedback on that. And
I'm the token centrist here.
So yeah, everybody,
we've all got Republican
token roles to play. And I used to be the editor of Our Lives, which is the still sole remaining LGBTQ media outlet in Wisconsin. So,
fantastic.
But yeah, I've been here, there, and everywhere.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. We always love when journalists, because I'm a big fan of coming up in independent radio out in Southwest Wisconsin. I'm a huge fan of journalists who are not part of the corporate America. I've voiced frustration on this program before because I think there are intimidation factors going on in the current administration, but that's not why you're here. The point is, as an independent journalist, you can suss these things out, and with platforms like the Recombobulation Area and hopefully civic media helping out as well, we can get this information out.
Absolutely. I think having independent, robust independent and nonprofit media in particular is a really essential part of a healthy democracy, frankly.
Yeah, no, I could not agree more. So the headline on this story, how AI is harming Wisconsin's path to renewable energy. Tell us, first of all, how you came to write this story. Is this a passion of yours, or what made you say, hey, there's something here to report?
Oh, good question. Yeah, I do really care about the environment because, as other smarter people have said, hey, that's where I live. So anything that impacts it is important to me. And the intersection with, you know, all these companies, utilities have these very important renewable energy goals, net zero goals, things like that, as we're facing down this very serious climate crisis. We're already seeing impacts of it. We're breathing in smoke from out of control wildfires right now. All of it is very connected. And they're walking back these goals now because there's this huge push to build these gigantic data centers. And the data centers are largely being driven by the enormous amount of energy consumption that is the result of this huge boom and push for, and I'm going to use scare quotes, AI, which is essentially a nebulous term for a bunch of marketing propaganda and not a single coherent technology.
People, regular listeners of the show, know that I'm petrified. I'm going to end my life by being attacked by an AI robotic dog. They scare the crap out of me. But more seriously, I guess for goofballs like me, or who might not be up to speed on technology, there is a really serious side to AI because it learns from itself and it gathers data, and all of that can either kind of be used for good or not so good, is my understanding.
Well, here's where it gets complicated. So again, learning from much smarter people than I am, I'm going to shout out a book that just came out called The AI Con by Alex Hanna and Emily Mbender. Is a really great, very approachable, very it's funny and it's smart and it's not overly academic look at all of the hype around AI, and very clearly defines like what it is, what it is not, and so much of what we're hearing is not true about what it can do. And there's this really concerted push in propaganda marketing to make people think that it's smarter and more human-like than it is. I mean, anything that has, you know, quote unquote language, we are prone to thinking of, well, that's got to be some human quality to it, or it's gonna take over. It's gonna be Terminator 2, or it's gonna be HAL 9000, or anything like that, right? And what they point out, and I really appreciate it, is they call them doomers and boosters. So people who think, you know, AI is so, it's going to get so complex and so smart that it's going to destroy us, or people who think that, you know, that's not going to happen. It's going to save us. It's going to do all these things. And the doomers and the boosters are essentially the same side of two sides of the same coin, excuse me, where it's like they're both still claiming incorrect things about what AI can and can't do. It's a lot of it is just marketing flim flam. Like it is a spicy autocorrect. It is stochastic parrots is one of the things they call it. It's not actually performing a lot of what we want it to do. And it's really essential that we ask, like, what are the inputs? What are the outputs? What is the purpose of this thing? Is it saving us time in the end? Is it actually doing what we want it to do? Is it just offshoring jobs to people who are being paid a lot less to work behind the scene in these ghost jobs to actually run what it's doing? And also the fact that, back to the point of this column, and the reason I wrote it is it takes up a ton of energy to run these data centers that power these tools like ChatGPT and Copilot and all these other things. So Microsoft, for instance, wants to build this huge data center, is planning to build this huge data center in Wisconsin. And in order to power that data center, We Energies was like, well, shoot, we need more power. We need bigger plants. So as they're getting ready to shutter some of these coal power plants, they want to build these natural gas plants, which, yes, technically pollute a little bit less than coal plants do, but they aren't in line with the renewable energy goals that we've set that are so crucial to save ourselves from the actual threat of climate change.
Yeah, exactly. We're talking with Emily Mills, who is an independent journalist and writing for the Recombobulation Area. This very intriguing story on how AI is harming Wisconsin's path to renewable energy. So specifically in your reporting, what did you find? Is it that the power used to create these data centers, or is it something independent where AI is going to suss out weather forecasting or something like that.
I wish. It's just it's a data aggregator, and it takes it requires existing information from human beings to do its job, and oftentimes it's stealing that information without abiding by copyright or intellectual property laws. But you still need human beings to actually, you know, gather and interpret this data and to use it in a way that's effective and important. And, you know, if you can't just rely on AI to do it all, it makes so many mistakes. It makes things up. And we're seeing the impacts now. I know the National Weather Service, you know, faced a bunch of cuts under DOGE. And there was a forecaster in Florida the other day who said, look, I'm not going to be able to tell you much about the hurricane season because these massive cuts to the jobs and the funding for these essential roles, AI can't replace that.
Right.
I mean, they're trying to sell it that it can. And so, of course, you know, these corporate leaders who want to save a ton of money and lay off a bunch of people and just like have some computers doing it are like, great, let's do that. But in the end, it doesn't actually work. Yeah. And we have a lot of proof that it doesn't work. And a lot of people pay the price for that in the end. So we need good forecasting, among many other things.
Years, I've had a lot of people know I have a mutt resume, as I call it. About 8-9 years ago, I was between jobs. I drove Uber for about a year. I think everybody should do that. I think it's very, very interesting. But I picked up a guy on the far west side of Madison in a beautiful, beautiful palatial home, a hideaway. Like, he was coming downtown, and we just got talking, and he was very talkative. It was fine. The long and the short of it is, he made all this money because he worked at, it was 8 years ago, in AI technology and computer and forecasting, and he was getting paid from major insurance companies because what they wanted to know is, where with climate change, which they acknowledged, where are the storms going to go so that we don't sign people up for insurance?
Yeah. I mean, if you live in the Gulf Coast and in parts of Florida, it's already getting almost impossible to get flood insurance, hurricane insurance, things like that. Places that have been really struck by wildfires out west, it's like impossible to get fire insurance because, yeah, it's too expensive for them in their business model to insure you.
It really is. So back to your story here. You bring up some of the PSC, let's define that, Public Service Commission, and what their role in this.
So, yeah, the Public Service Commission, Wisconsin entity that had to recently voted to approve these two new power plants that We Energies wants to put in. It's their job to sort of review these applications and see if they're in line with whatever state policy is, and also to take public input. And for both of the power plants, one in Kenosha County, one in Milwaukee County, there was 94 and 95% opposition to those plants registered with the PSC, and that's between, you know, residents in the community. It's organizations that have banded together to kind of create a coalition to oppose it. It's also some businesses. It's a wide variety of people who registered opposition. Despite that overwhelming opposition, the PSC still approved those two plants to go in.
Now, help me out here, because I used to work at the Capitol, but I've lost track. Is the PSC still dominated or controlled by Walker appointees, or has time elapsed enough where there's an equal number, or is it Evers employees, do you know? Not employees, appointees.
I'm going to have to say I don't know. I'm not actually sure. I'd have to get up to date on that myself, but that is always a consideration.
I'm always intrigued by this, and I think a lot of people from the outside think, oh, it always comes down to Republican versus Democrats.
Right. I don't think it is. I think this issue in particular is complex, and I want to give a little bit of grace to people who are dealing with something that is really tricky. We do need power. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the political leanings or makeup of the current PSC is. I'd have to look into that. Haven't seen a lot of explanation for the decision yet. I'm just sort of reacting to this initial, hey, why do we do this? But I think it's an interesting question. And I also think the broader question of, this is a really complex issue. It's not a Democrats versus Republican thing. It is like, we do need energy to power our homes and our businesses. But the thing is, in my many lives that I live, I get to see that the solutions exist. We do have the technology to do renewables and to really scale them up and to do it in a thoughtful way that takes into consideration, you know, viable farmland and conservation and everything else. But still have enough to power what we need. What I'm seeing is that we don't need gigantic data centers to power AI that is doing us net harm, in my opinion.
I'm fascinated by your reporting on this, the fact there was so much local opposition, and yet the Public Service Commission, which is supposed to serve the people of Wisconsin, still passes it unanimously. I mean, I saw this stuff. I was in the Capitol yet when Scott Walker was governor. And, you know, my former party was big on, local control all the time, local control. I don't recall a bigger ignoring of local control than under the Walker administration when it came to things like high-capacity wells or rewriting mining legislation in northern Wisconsin,
right.
Fracking. And now here we seem to be seeing this again when it comes to energy in Wisconsin. So, all right, we'll come on back, talk a little bit more with Emily Mills, independent journalist. A great story here for the recombobulation area on AI and the Wisconsin environment. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds signed two election bills May 2nd, one of which includes provisions for poll workers to challenge the citizenship of voters in the polling place, a ban on ranked choice voting, and a higher bar for third parties. Among several new provisions, House File 954 authorizes state election officials to access federal agency databases and gives local election officials authority to challenge citizenship of a registered voter at the polls. A recent presidential executive order now allows access to those databases. If a voter is not able to provide documentation at the polls, they would be forced to use a provisional ballot. Only days before the 2024 election, the Secretary of State's office challenged the eligibility of over 2,100 registered voters. Most were naturalized citizens or data errors, while 277 were registered non-citizens. Of those, only 35 voted out of 1.7 million ballots cast. Pro-voter groups argue such mass challenges intimidate legitimate naturalized citizens from voting. Two provisions in 954 attempt to protect major party power. It bans ranked choice voting for any election in Iowa and raises the bar for third parties to field candidates. Third parties now need to garner 2% of the vote in three consecutive elections to qualify for the ballot. We have more on HF 954 at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
An unsuspecting driver at a gas station in Wisconsin.
Welcome, Paul 15. How you doing?
Great.
Were you wearing your seatbelt today?
I never wear my seatbelt.
We're going to get him. We're going to get him real good.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello, sir. How you doing? Dollar driver. It takes 1 second to strap a seatbelt on. Well, let's do this. Let's do it together. Now, don't that feel better?
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Click it or tick it.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways.
And I should have recognized your voice when you're harassing
me. I'm watching you.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
Summer. It's our Scotty Summer statewide text to win contest on your local Civic Media radio station. For a complete list of contest rules, log on civicmedia.us/contest-terms. As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 23 minutes now past the hour of 3 o'clock. Glad to have you along. Zombers, very dramatic on the bumper music.
Well, yeah. I know we said that AI is not like Terminator 2 or HAL 9000, but I couldn't resist the
I caught the reference. I like that. I like it. That's
he's always listening. He's always on top of it.
Yeah, it was nice.
Appreciate that, Zombers. Along here beside me at the world headquarters at the desk is Emily Mills and is with Recombobulation Area. They are a independent journalist here, and you're writing now. You've written for other places, like you say, Journal Sentinel, other places along the way. But now here, feel a little bit more freedom working for the Recombobulation Area versus other places you've worked or not?
Actually, I have been really fortunate in my career to have very rarely run into issues of kind of censorship being reined in. Even when I was at the Journal Sentinel, the editor there was like, write about whatever you want to write about.
That's great.
I don't think it was ever reined in. Yeah. I mean, I do try to be thoughtful, at least. I'm not just popping off about random things. But no, it is really nice to have the platform regardless, though, because I can't help myself. I have opinions about things, but I also really like to do a lot of research to make sure I'm not talking out of my rear. Yeah. So I really appreciate the platform.
I ask it because, again, in our discussions on this show and other shows at Civic Media, I think oftentimes there's this perception out there that, oh my gosh, you know, everybody is being told what to do by editors or publishers or whatever. I do think that in Wisconsin, at least, you tell me if you think I'm wrong, you're much more of a journalist than I am, but I think in Wisconsin, there's less of that when it comes to places like our state newspapers, and that sort of thing. Am I wrong?
I think it's probably more nuanced. So yeah. If I have never actually been just a regular beat reporter, news reporter, and right. I think there are a lot of more, you know, there's that constant debate about, do you present both sides of everything?
Yeah.
Well, what if one of the sides is actually just
a lie
yeah. Or harmful. But yeah, I think I have never actually held a job as a journalist that was that kind. And I know people a lot of wonderful reporters who've worked in those fields and currently work in those fields for public radio, for some of the newspapers. And there is a lot more that you have to be considering as you do it. And there is a little bit more, I wouldn't say censorship, but a lot pickier editing and what will get picked up and what won't. That's also just because they're woefully underfunded and understaffed these days. Yeah. You've got one person trying to do a million things at any given newspaper now. So that's most, you know, never know what the editor is going to want you to do or not.
Didn't mean to go off on a tangent.
No, it's all right.
I like it when we have journalists here just to ask, because I think it's good for our audience to hear from people who actually worked in the field and interact.
So it is an important conversation.
It really is. Emily wrote this fantastic piece in the Recombobulation area entitled How AI is Harming Wisconsin's Path to Renewable Energies. Have a question here for you, Emily, if I get back to it here. Says Lori, listening all the way up in beautiful Hayward, Wisconsin.
Oh, I love Hayward.
Yeah, absolutely. At WBZH, Buzz of the North. Says, Todd, can you ask Emily if they have heard anything about the state in the South that has a lot of issues with huge green...
In their state is what it was supposed to say because of AI centers built there from Lori and Hayward.
Well, this ties in because we were talking over the break, whether it's quote-unquote mining Bitcoin, where they put up these great big huge... What do you call them? Energy generators? I don't know.
It's the big data servers. Yeah. Yeah, the data mining centers, so which compare also that, require... A lot of energy.
Compare that to what's happening potentially with what the PSC just passed here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, and sort of to the point too that there's other states that are dealing with the same issues. So as far when I was researching this, the numbers right now, it's a little tricky because these large corporations that are building data centers to support AI tools and things like that aren't being very transparent about how much energy is actually going into it. Like they're not giving any reports. They used to, but they've sort of conveniently stopped doing that in recent years. But a lot of the best estimates and just sort of looking at what's happening and adding that up is data centers and the energy that's going toward powering these quote unquote AI tools is about to outpace how much energy consumption it takes to do Bitcoin mining, which is quite a lot. Yeah. So we're talking, you know, orders of magnitude, like enough power for multiple small countries basically to power themselves that are going into these data centers for these technologies.
And I think what's important, you correct me if I'm wrong, and for Wisconsinites, and maybe this is why people were so opposed to it, the PSC, these are not like quiet little things. They have this annoying buzz in some of these things that can really just drive humans and wildlife, whatever, crazy.
Yeah, there's the noise factor, and there's also just the air pollution factor. Right. A lot of these are the, you know, they call them natural gas, but we're talking about like methane and things like that. And there are controls in place to kind of knock down how much pollution is going out, but they're not without pollution. And there's a lot of precedent for these plants being, you know, problematic, especially for their neighbors breathing in the air. And I think an interesting case is where, you know, We Energies will probably have to follow the law in Wisconsin, at least when they build these places, so better than not. But I think the larger issue is that, you know, a good example is in Tennessee. Elon Musk's ex-AI built a giant data center in a historically black neighborhood outside of Memphis, I want to say, and didn't apply for any clean air permits, didn't apply for any permits for their generators. And because the local utilities are not able to provide enough power to run this place, but Elon really wanted to get it up and running to meet some arbitrary deadline to roll out whatever his AI chatbot thing is.
Wow.
They installed a whole bunch of these methane generators just like running 24/7, and they're just dumping pollution into the air around this place in a neighborhood that has already historically high visits to the emergency center for asthma. You know, they're saying like, I can't breathe. I can't go outside and breathe because it's just gas. It's just the smell of gas everywhere. So this is the kind of thing that's happening in service of this technology.
And what we know based on our healthcare system in America, chances are that people in that neighborhood that might be people of color, probably less likely to have great healthcare coverage.
Yep. Or, you know, great access to medical care generally, or the incomes for it. It's I think the median income in that particular neighborhood was about $25,000 a year. So not great.
Less than a minute. It's been great. What can people do to fight back across Wisconsin on this?
Well, I'd like to say you could write into the Public Service Commission.
But as it turns out.
I mean, obviously, I think it is important to keep calling your representatives and and asking questions and telling them what you're concerned about and telling them what you're opposed to. Calling makes a difference.
Yes.
Do the research. Make calls. Talk to your friends.
You can find the story at www.therecombobulationarea.news. Emily Mills, thanks so much. Come back soon.
Thank you so much.
Our pleasure. Stay tuned. What's Worse is next on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The world population of livestock is decreasing, and this may be having an impact on the dairy markets. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and Cody Koster, a dairy analyst with EverAg, is here to explain why these lower numbers of animals are affecting the markets.
If you look at it holistically going forward and you think the United States has been doing this for, let's say, 2 years now, and then Europe is on board, maybe they've been doing it for a year. You want to talk about a global milk production problem, let's say, of having less milk. This is what could lead us to that in the future. And I think you're starting to see it overseas, even with the global dairy trade that we just saw on Tuesday. I mean, their cheese price, if you look at the mozzarella cheese price, came in at $2.22. Look at our block price at $1.93 yesterday.
Cody Koster, a dairy analyst with EverAg, joining us. We'll take a look at the closing markets right after this.
Pancakes, potatoes, sausage, eggs, oh my. Come hungry to the Marquette County June Dairy Breakfast on Sunday, June 8th at Slowey Farms on Evergreen Avenue in Westfield. In addition to breakfast, enjoy live music, farm tours, a petting zoo, and kid games. You can also try your luck at bingo. Breakfast and activities start at 7 a.m. at Slowey Farms on Evergreen Avenue in Westfield on June 8th. For full event details, see our event on Facebook.
There goes Pam Yonke across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to Zimbrick Chevrolet, Dane County's number one volume Chevy dealer with over 70 new Chevy trucks to choose from. Zimbrick Chevrolet East Madison, Sun Prairie, and ZimbrickChevrolet.com. Be sure to keep up with Pam and her travels at MidwestFarmReport.com and on Facebook at Midwest Farm Report, on Instagram at MWF Report, or by downloading the Midwest Farm Report app.
Welcome back. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report. And remember to follow along with us on all things agriculture by downloading our app, The Farm. You can download it at thefarmwi.com. Now let's see how the markets look on the close this Thursday. Grain and dairy are opposites again today, with cash corn up 0.75 at 439.5, and new crop corn up 4.5 at 448.25. Cash soybeans are up 6.75 cents at 10.51¾, with new crop soybeans up 8.25 cents at 10.33¼. July wheat contracts are up 2.25 at 545.5. Class 3 milk is seeing losses, with July contracts down 21 cents at 1868 100 weight, and August contracts down 17 cents at 1901 100 weight. 40-pound blocks are down 1¾ at 192, and butter closes down 0.25 cents at 255¾. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Partly cloudy today with a high in the upper 70s this afternoon. The wind will be out of the west at 5 to 15. Tonight, cloudy with showers after midnight, our low 51. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms at a high right around 70. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 76.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Lily Roberts, she is from the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
They're trying to pretend that this bill would be good for the working class because of this really small carve out to our tax laws. The no tax on tips piece does not at all even come close to addressing the problem of wages in this country. You know, a third of workers who work for tips in the first place don't make enough money to pay taxes at all.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Teachers are dynamic leaders shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. They're skilled experts discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, leading by example. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Pete Schwabba. On the next Nightlight, I welcome actor Wayne York, who makes the popcorn pick of the week. And then organized crime expert Bob Dennis joins me in the studio to talk about presidents and their connections to the mob.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, where it is now 35 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Many thanks to Emily Mills for being here. Fantastic story that they have written at the Recombobulation Area. You can find it at www.therecombobulationarea.news, how AI is harming Wisconsin's path to renewable energy. Fantastic. Appreciate Emily being here. Zobbers. That was quite the intro there, quite the song. What is that?
That's the Harlem Shake, which was a thing in like 2012. It was pre-TikTok, but it was essentially a TikTok dance trend. You would have that song, and then when it said,
and do the Harlem Shake,
then you just do crazy random garbage that technically could be counted as dancing and put it in a video and go viral.
Now, would you say it was a fad?
Absolutely. It was a little flash in the pan fad.
Time once again for what's worse. Let's go. This or that. Then, of course, the choice is yours. You can get with this or you can get with that. You can get with this or you can get with that. Time once again for what's worse. No prize money involved, nothing to give away, but it is your chance to have your voice heard all across the state of Wisconsin on the 11 stations that form the Civic Media Radio News Talk Sports Network. All across Wisconsin, no better place to advertise your business than, that's what we say back in the RC. We don't say business, we say your business. There are people listening from Richland Center right now that say, no, we don't say that.
Richland Center, it's not a bunch of hits.
No, it's not. I'm not saying that.
I'm just clarifying that that's not what
now
you're saying.
Now you're getting me into more
Sorry,
trouble.
No, that's not what Todd has ever implied by that.
All right. The category today on what's worse. Timely indeed. As Zomers alluded to earlier. The category, fads or dumb traditions. Fads or dumb traditions. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Fads or dumb traditions. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. How about that? Now, this is interesting. That song you played, I never heard of that. You said it was 2012?
Something like that.
All right. I'd never heard of that. But see, some of the fads are quick. Just blink and they're gone. You're too young to remember this, but... I was already like in middle school or high school. But my sister, Cabbage Patch Kids, crazy. Mostly girls, but some young guys wanted a Cabbage Patch doll. And parents would go into department stores around Christmas time, and they were getting into fisticuffs fights over dolls, Cabbage Patch dolls. So that's an example of a fad. Now, this one might be more controversial. On our screen, the graphic they've created is of a very colonial-looking Christopher Columbus, and it says Columbus Day along the side.
I would say Columbus Day, in retrospect, is a pretty dumb tradition.
In retrospect, probably not best to celebrate the guy who slaughtered... you know, hundreds, not thousands of Native. I'm not laughing, but, you know, I'm laughing because
it's being ridiculous.
Because here's a guy who he may or may not have, quote unquote, discovered America, probably one of a few people that were the first to land in America. just got, he was a great marketer, as it turned out, Christopher Columbus. And then, of course, for a long time there, and I think there are still some Columbus Day parades. But looking through the lens of 2025, not our best moment creating Columbus Day. What other, we can talk about other dumb traditions.
We got one text. Matt Middleton says, dumb traditions are worse as they lack the fun factor and last longer. What's with the fruitcake at Christmas crap?
Now, some people are huge fruitcake people.
Don't think I've ever had one, but really? I've seen it in a lot of Christmas movies.
It depends on the quality, I believe. I've had some that are more kind of nice fruity and some that are like a doorstop.
Yeah, so that's always the joke in those Christmas movies is that they are always just bricks.
Right. Cam in Appleton says, dumb traditions are easily worse. Ask Dr. John Kellogg.
Yeah, you may not know this. Do you know why?
I do not know why you said that.
Why cornflakes exist?
Tell me.
Because Dr. John Kellogg thought that young men need to be lead lives that are as least stimulating as possible in order to stay pure. And so cornflakes were literally invented to be boring, to keep young boys from touching themselves. I'm not joking.
That's what
Dr. John Kellogg did. Yeah. I'm not joking.
What was the marketing campaign? Eat Kellogg so you don't go blind?
I guess so.
That's incredible.
There are some weird people.
That is incredible. Yeah, well done, Cam. Digging deep on that. Now that is a dumb tradition right there. What's worse, fads or dumb traditions? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Stephanie in Cottage Grove, listening on WMDX, says fads are worse. Fads are pre-bad traditions. That's a great take, right? Because if a bad fad lasts long enough, then it becomes a bad tradition. Sean, listening out in beautiful Richland Center on the RC, says fads are worse. Embarrassed to say, I French rolled my pant legs on my jeans in the late 1980s. We've all been there, Sean. I mean, that's. I think some people still do that. It's kind of coming back. Everything comes back. DJ up in beautiful Wausau, listening on WXCO, says fads that turn into dumb traditions are worse. DJ in the Saw, not the Shaw, but the Saw. AJ in Madison, listening on WMDX, says fads are definitely worse. Don't be a sheep, okay? Fads, he says, are worse. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842.
Cam shared some other information from Dr. John Kellogg.
We will not say on air, but suffice it to say,
he did more than just invent cereal.
We will not discuss that. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. We'd love your take on this and phone calls as well. What's worse, fads or dumb traditions? I'm trying to think of another fad. Beanie Babies, but that turned into, I think, a bad tradition. Matt in Richland Center, one of our great UPS drivers, saying, come on, Sean, you should still roll them. I still wear a members-only jacket. Well said, Matt, right? I mean, let's not be embarrassed by things we grew up with. Embrace them. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when I grew up in the 80s, feathered hair. I've told this story before, but the short version is I have very straight hair. My hair is the only thing straight about me, as it turns out. No, I have very straight hair. I wish I still had most of my straight hair. Unfortunately, I'm losing most of it. But I really wanted to feather my hair. And so I convinced my mom to give me a perm at home. And she, God love her, she did a fantastic job, but the stuff was too strong, and I looked like little orphan Annie and so we dialed up my barber, my hair care professional, Tom McCarthy, at Tom's Barbershop, and he got me in at 6:30, 7 in the morning to try to cut some of it out before I went to school. So feathered hair was a fad. How about parachute pants? parachute pants, those of us of a certain age. Some of them had like the zippers on the side. It wasn't, I don't know, it was either to make it more puffy or not. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. How about fads or dumb traditions? Fads or dumb traditions? Cam, listening to Appleton. Cam, what do you want to say?
Sorry for being a maniac. Thank you for taking my call, Todd.
Of course.
I was just thinking, like, and it finally like clicked. I was like, oh, no, you know what? As much as I hate, like, traditional stuff, at least I can nitpick with which ones suck.
Right.
Like, tricking your kid with, like, the snipe hunt.
Oh, yes. Fine. Snipe. Snipe hunting.
Fads always seem like they go from worse to worse to worse. My high school's seniors that graduated before me burned the carpets of the floor for their senior prank. They lit them on fire.
That's terrible.
After that, it was baby powder bombs in the hallways. Then people tried to put laxatives and all the condiments during lunch.
Oh my gosh! I see that's way over the line.
The previous.
Yeah, that's way over the line. So those are good examples of, you know, snipe hunting fine, doing things that are destructive, not so much. Appreciate it, Cam. Thank you very much. Have a great day. Thanks for the call. 855-752-4842. What's worse? Go to Mike listening on WRCE in beautiful Spring Green. Mike, fads or dumb traditions? What's worse?
Well, I think it's a fad, but lately, this is the last few years now, it's in language. When people use a word with S-T-R like street, they say street. And if they say stop, it's stop. But if it's S-T-R, they're strong. And that starts to drive me crazy.
Now, see, this is interesting, because I didn't notice that one, but go ahead.
I'm hearing NPR news announcers talking that way. And the other one now is, lately, two T's. You have a button or you go to Manhattan, and I'm hearing professional news people talking like that, and it's driving me up the wall. I do voiceovers myself.
Okay.
And I pride myself on diction and being very clear when I talk, you know? And
right.
Then I hear these people going, now close the button, and this will be in written instructions, and I just want to choke them.
Now, this one is interesting, because I know people that say that, button. Like that, instead of just button.
I grew up saying
button.
Yeah. Button, but not button.
Right. It's part of it. Go ahead.
Well, important versus important. Important.
Now, so do you think some of that is like a colloquialism that's like regional in Wisconsin or different parts of the country?
I think it's different parts of the country, but it's spreading. People didn't used to say strong or street, but now they all do. And it's younger. It's younger people.
Spreading like an STI at a frat party. It's people are starting to not use their good diction, for goodness sake.
Yeah, you know, it's just one of those things that once I hear it, I can't unhear it. And you know, it just gets to me. So I don't know if that fit the mode today that we're talking about.
No, absolutely. And as a voiceover professional, very, very insightful. Because some of those things you mentioned, like I say, I have not noticed. Others I have.
Well, I listen and I hear you guys saying funny things. I'm going, oh, I heard that.
I'm sure you do.
Maybe nobody else
does. I'm sure.
It happens. Yes. You know?
No, I mean, part of it is where I grew up a little bit, but also part of it is just, I don't know, we all talk differently depending upon our influences. So, but
well, I came from Sheboygan, and I learned all kinds of bad grammar there, and I got over it.
Well, that's a great point, too. I mean, I'm not sure if they still do this, but for years, like the networks, if they had a reporter they wanted to mold into an anchor that was from, say, the South, or from Boston, they would send them like to Chicago or Minneapolis or Milwaukee to work to try to undo their accents to sound more Midwestern.
Exactly. I've heard Peoria is like a good place to get people from because they have the least local isms in the country. Who can say? Who can say?
If it plays in Peoria, right? All right. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it. Have a great day out there in beautiful Spring Green in the Driftless area of Wisconsin. Come on back. We'll wrap up What's Worse after this and the show as well. It's the Off-Ball Show for a Thursday across Wisconsin on a beautiful day on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Open Gangnam Style.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Why'd I go to the doctor? One day at the firehouse, I was so lightheaded I could barely stand. Even my crew noticed. Getting checked out was the right call. Turns out I have atrial fibrillation, which increases the risk of stroke about 5 times.
Symptoms like irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness can come and go. But if it's AFib, the risk of stroke remains. If you have symptoms, contact a doctor.
I'm so glad I did.
Visit notimetowait.com, sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win Contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We want to hook you up with $100 cash, Milwaukee Brewers club-level tickets, and the chance to win a summer getaway to the Wisconsin Dells area or an escape to Door County. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store. Then listen in for the keywords during the 7 and 11 a.m. hour and 2 and 4 p.m. hour. Text in the keyword and get set to win. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer.
Medicare loses about $60 billion annually to fraud, errors, and abuse. June 2nd through the 8th is Medicare Fraud Prevention Week, focusing on the actions everyone can take to prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Learn more by liking and following Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol on Facebook. Then visit our website, smpwi.org. For information and advice, remember, Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
All right, time to visit with Melissa Baldoff as we talk climate issues. Acting FEMA chief told staff he didn't know about U.S. hurricane seasons.
What?
Speechless too.
I mean,
I love it. We're all just sitting here like, what?
If it is a joke, and I don't know that it is, it's not a funny one. We've seen more deadly hurricanes, so we have every reason to expect it will be a bad hurricane season.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt and Air on Air.
Congressman Mark Pocan is here. Are you planning on going out on the road again, having a couple more town halls?
Yes. No, Claire, Derek and I have been invited by Opportunity Wisconsin, so I'm really looking forward to debating Derek. My guess is it's more likely I will sprout a head full of hair than he will show up. This is important to let people know what's in this bill, because there is a very good reason why Republicans are hiding from town halls.
Catch Matt and Air on Air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Did you know? VA home loans are a key to home ownership for those who served.
In the military, we make a lot of sacrifices, and with the VA loan, it makes it easier for us to get a home.
We were able to purchase this home and then use the money that we were going to use as a down to actually fix up the home. I would tell anybody who is interested in getting a VA loan to just do it.
To learn more about VA home loans, visit va.gov/homeloans.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, where it is now 8 before the hour of 4 o'clock at the top of the hour. ABC or CBS News, depending upon which of our great stations you're listening to across the state. And then a weather update for you. Looks like hopefully the air quality starts getting better this weekend. Pretty nice weekend on tap. Have all the details for you. And our great sports reporter, Mike Clemens. Many thanks for him for being on the show earlier with that breaking news. Aaron Rodgers, former Packers and Jets quarterback, on his way to Pittsburgh to sign with the Steelers, setting up a showdown later on this year between Rodgers and Jordan Love when the two teams play each other. Drama at its height. And then stay tuned for another edition of the Maggie Dawn Show every afternoon, 4 until 6, 6 until 8. Pete Schwabba, Conrad, and Nightlight. Again, many thanks for letting me be on the show last night. Had a heck of a lot of fun. Make sure to tune in to the end of your day as far as the work day, I guess you would say, with Pete and Conrad. And then stay tuned for Robert Pilot and Native Roots Radio and Rick Smith across America. Right now, finishing up what's worse for today, fads or dumb traditions. 855-752-4842. Go to Whistler, listening on WRCE out in the RC. Whistler, fads or dumb traditions, what's worse?
Well, I think fads are kind of worse because I already remember bell bottoms.
Okay.
Bell bottom jeans, bell bottom blues. You know, People always, lots of people wore bell bottoms. Now you see them in secondhand stores.
Right? I was just going to say, again, Whistler, great example of something that was big, then nobody wanted to wear them. And now, like, my niece, who's like 18, she's all about them.
Covers up the feet, you know? You don't have to wear shoes.
Right, right, exactly. Thanks, Whistler. Always appreciate it. Have a great day up there in beautiful southwest Wisconsin, the RC. 855-752-4842. Ollie in the North Woods. Ollie, fads or dumb traditions, what's worse?
Well, I was going to talk about the bell bottoms a little bit, but I'll change mine to the polyester plaid suits that men used to wear.
Yes.
That versus, I think that's worse, although when you compare it to a family tradition that our family and many families seem to have is the parents or grandparents often share embarrassing stories about the kids when they were growing up.
Right.
So it could be equally bad.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Ollie. Have a great day up there in the North Woods. Zomers, what's worse, fads or dumb traditions?
I think this is a tough one because I'm sure this will come as a shock to you that as a kid, I thought most fads were incredibly stupid. And I'd be like, why would you do that? That's dumb. I'm sure that'll shock you that I was a party pooper on fads. But at the same time, I think that dumb traditions are worse because you have the benefit of hindsight.
Right.
And if you still keep doing it and it's dumb, you can make goofy decisions or do something that's silly but doesn't really matter in the long run for a fad. But once you know better.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you on this one. I'm going to say dumb traditions are worse from what you said because we have the hindsight. Well, if you eventually get to the point where this is just dumb, but you know it's a tradition, so we'll keep doing that. Probably not a great thing. Although fads can be annoying sometimes.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, everybody has to do, pardon me, X, or everybody has to listen to whatever. That can get annoying after a while. All right, back with more What's Worse in tomorrow's show. Again, busy, busy day. A lot of fun today. First and foremost, many thanks to Emily Mills for being here. Their great article on AI and the harming of Wisconsin's path to renewable energy. So you can check that out at www.therecombobulationarea.news. Great to have Emily here today. Also, many thanks to Zomers, as always, all of you for listening as well. Also, big news on the Trump and Musk breakup. It's gotten spicy, as they say. Elon Musk now bringing up the Jeffrey Epstein files and saying Trump is in it. That's why they're not releasing it. And Trump saying, you know how we can save lots of money, billions of dollars? Terminate Elon's governmental subsidies and contracts. And now, in the last half an hour or so, Speaker Johnson, Mike Johnson, and Congress have gotten into it with Elon as well. Musk posting saying, where is the Mike Johnson of 2023? Citing an older tweet where Johnson rails against the climbing national debt. Johnson responding by saying the Mike Johnson of 2023 is the same Mike Johnson who has always been a lifelong fiscal hawk and now serves as speaker. Nothing more dramatic and entertaining than seeing Republicans fight amongst themselves. I mean, Democrats too. But in this case, it's fantastic to watch. And what's really interesting, I said this earlier, when it comes to the Epstein files for Trump, or the billions of dollars that Elon Musk makes from the federal government, from us, the taxpayers, is they defended each other on those issues when they were a couple. Not obviously romantically, we're just having fun, but as a political couple, professional. But now that they've broken up, now they're going at each other. So be interesting to see where all that goes.
And they know exactly where to hit each other so that it hurts.
Yes, they know each other.
I hope they don't take it out on the kids, us.
Right. They know each other's secrets. So we'll see. We'll see where all of this is going. Continue to follow it. Of course, tomorrow on the show, our old friend Brady Ewing, three-time champion with the Wisconsin Badgers. Three-time Big Ten champion with Wisconsin Badger football team. Spent 3 years in the NFL. We'll find out what he thinks of Aaron Rodgers going to Pittsburgh, and much, much more across Wisconsin as well. And Peter Rapine of EPOM's World will be in with our bi-weekly humorous look at the wild and wacky with a weekend review. Again, thanks to Emily Mills, thanks to Zobbers, all of you for listening, and have a wonderful afternoon. Maggie Dawn is next. Remember, whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. We'll see you tomorrow. Keep banging on your drum, and they will hear you.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A new travel ban set to go into effect next week. President Trump issuing full and partial bans on 19 countries, he says, due to the recent Boulder firebomb attack as the reason. ABC's Karen Travers has more.
The president was asked specifically why Egypt was not included, because in the video he released last night, he cited the Boulder, Colorado attack as a reason why he's moving forward on this right now. That was, of course, the suspect in that attack was an Egyptian man who had overstayed his visa. The president said Egypt is a country that the United States deals with very closely. He said they have things under control, and the countries that are on the list do not.
In an unprecedented move, Secretary of State Marco Rubio announcing the U.S. would sanction four international criminal court judges. He says we're, quote, directly engaged in efforts by the ICC to investigate, arrest, detain, and prosecute nationals of the U.S. and Israel. This is ABC News.